Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Lord Christ, we believe in you. Help our unbelief. Amen. Each time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is at the very center of Jesus' ministry and his mission. Jesus taught his disciples, forgive your brother or sister 70 times, seven times. It's a lot. Then in the upper room, we read that Jesus took the cup, he offered thanks, and then he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the what? The forgiveness of sins. And then on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. On the cross. Then in the Apostles' Creed, we declare, we profess that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. The author of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and also Treasure Island, Robert Louis Stevenson, a devout Christian, also a Presbyterian. One morning he was praying the Lord's Prayer with his family. He was kneeling down on his knees. And during the middle of the prayer, he got up and he left the room. At the time, his health was very frail, and so his wife got up after him to see if he was okay. And he shared with her, yes, I'm okay, but I'm not fit to pray the Lord's Prayer today. Can you guess which line he got up from? This one. Jesus is not easy on us in this portion of the prayer. In fact, I think it's the most demanding line in all of Scripture. But praying to be forgiven and praying to forgive is one of the best things. It is one of the kindest things that we could do to ourselves, our body, mind, and soul. We need to pray this prayer every single day. It's spiritual broccoli for us. And if you love broccoli, insert in a vegetable that you don't like. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to do God's will. And part of God's will for us is to forgive. The Lord's Prayer reminds us something very important, that we must first see our need for forgiveness. First, there's a reason why it's in that order. Forgive us our debts. Now, in bankruptcy court, when a new case begins, the bailiff exclaims in a loud voice, all debtors, rise. That's all of us, Emmanuel. We're all standing in that spiritual court. Forgive us our debts. We have debts. You can only truly forgive when you realize first that you've been forgiven of something much greater. You see, God loves us very dearly. It is clearly spelled out in the Scriptures, but also it's clearly spelled out in the Scriptures, we're no angels. Scripture is honest about our true human condition. We're told that we missed the mark, that we've stepped across the line, that we've fallen short, that we've lost our footing, that we've known the law, and yet we still have broken it. And then this morning, Jesus rubs it in on us, reminding us we're debtors. We've all racked up a debt we can't pay back, and I don't care what size bank account you have, we're all debtors. We failed in our duties. We can't get ourselves out of the mess that we got ourselves into. But here's the good news. God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus, our Lord of everything. We're forgiven. And here's the tough news. We must also forgive others. It's a reciprocal principle. A two-way road, a two-sided coin. Jesus left us, in the Lord's Prayer, no wiggle room. There is no escape clause. Poet and pastor George Herbert, he put it this way. He or she that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he or she must pass if he or she would ever reach heaven. For everyone has need to be forgiven. If we refuse to forgive, we at the same time refuse to be forgiven by God. Gulp. This isn't fluffy stuff, ladies and gentlemen. This line in the Lord's Prayer could also be called the grudge buster. The blood of Christ shed on the cross, it brings forgiveness and reconciliation, not only in our vertical relationship with God, but our horizontal relationships with one another. The two are forever interconnected. Forgive us as we forgive. God ennobles us by extracting us from a tit-for-tat existence, a vicious circle. And he incorporates us into a gracious circle of forgiveness. It's a gracious circle dance that we're in of leading and following, of to and fro, of give and take, of rights and responsibilities, forgiven and forgiving, receiving and giving. Grace is free. It is unmerited. It can never be earned. Yet God's grace is not cheap. Grace has expectations. Grace empowers us. Grace equips us. Grace expects us to use the gifts that God has given us. So let's hear now the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 6, selected verses from the Lord's Prayer, the words of Jesus. It's found within the Sermon on the Mount. But this is the only section of the Lord's Prayer where Jesus gives further commentary. So we will listen to those verses as well. Hear now the word of the Lord. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God endures forever.
Thanks be
to God. Pope Francis calls the family a training gym for forgiveness. Some of us are gym rats, right? But really, all of life is training ground for forgiveness for all of our relationships, towards our spouse, our significant other, family members, friends, strangers, fellow church members, employees, bosses, fellow students, enemies, any human relationship. See, whenever we invest in a relationship or when we love someone, we expose ourselves. See, love opens us up to great joy in our lives, but it also opens us to profound hurt. All of us have been hurt. Some of us quite a bit. And all of us have hurt others. Some of us quite a bit too. Many times we need to be forgiven just as much as we need to forgive. Some of us have gone through ourselves, or maybe we've had loved ones who have experienced horrific trauma in their lives. Divorce, emotional, physical, sexual abuse, falling out with family members, relationships that have been burned by addiction, victims of a crime or a tragic loss. wounds from bad church experiences. Some of us might be angry at a loved one who died and left us alone all too early. Now, there are hurts that need to be just shrugged off with a little bit of humor and a little more thick skin. Annoyances, oversights, slights, disappointments. In those times, we need to suck it up, not take ourselves too seriously, and just let it roll off of our backs. Love covers over a multitude of sins. And then there are wounds that call for the miracle of forgiveness. They're personal, they're unfair, and they're very, very deep. Now, whether our hurts are minuscule or whether they're massive, one of the main teachings in our faith is that we need to forgive. Forgiveness is so hard, and it's so important. Forgiveness is the only thing that can heal us and set us free from the poison of hatred and bitterness. Nothing else. Forgiveness. When we forgive the person that hurt us, we have a new vision of them. We're given new eyes to see them in a different way, where we see them in context, where we see them as needy and broken people, and where we cultivate a new feeling towards them, where we wish them well rather than seethe with hatred. Lewis Meads says, "You can reverse your future only by releasing other people from their pasts." Forgiveness is just as much for us as it is for others. Now, forgiveness is not just a single act, it is a process. It's an ongoing act. It's a struggle of ups and downs, but we can't give up the struggle. Forgiveness comes at great cost. There is sacrifice in forgiveness. I'll never forget an interview with a father whose daughter had been senselessly killed in a shooting massacre. "Can you forgive the shooter?" the reporter boldly asked. The father paused. "Not yet." The grieving father knew that he would have to, but it just wasn't quite yet. "Not now. I respect that." Now, it's important to remember that forgiveness doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form that the act was acceptable. It's not saying that. So, there are some helpful steps for us on this road to forgiveness that every single one of us are called to walk along. And the first is this: leave the writing of wrongs to God. We're not God. And so we need to stop wishing to be God. There are going to be times when we just have to give up trying to understand, to fix, to judge, to change the other person that we have hurt or the one that has abused us. Sometimes it just will never make sense, and we have to give that up. We have to be reconciled to the fact that many times the forgiveness we come to in our own hearts towards a person may not be received by them. Rather than being mutual, maybe we're the only one that can forgive in the situation, while the other one chooses to hold on to bitterness. Two, We trust that God's hand can reshape human evil. Now, we're called to take a broad view of things, a long view of things, an aerial view of things, and to see the big picture of what God is doing. See, with the God of hope, we can be tragic optimists in our lives. "You intended to do harm, but God intended it for good," said Joseph to his brothers, who sold him into slavery. You see, forgiveness frees us from the prison of resentment. Now, it's important to remember that this doesn't mean that God is the source of evil. God doesn't will the evil that some of us have experienced in our lives. Betrayal, any kind of abuse is unacceptable. Cruelty comes from humans, from the sin and the selfishness that resides in all of us. But God miraculously transforms these human evils and brings good out of them. The evil is still evil, but it is not the complete or the final say. Third, we take ownership for our part. Others of us need to repent, to fess up to the evil that we've done. There are times when we're the guilty one, or at least partly guilty. Own what's your part. Own it. You know, it takes courage to confess. It takes vulnerability. Several years ago, there was a principal at a nearby school, right by Emmanuel here, who brought a student to meet me in my office. The middle schooler had done some vandalism on our church campus, and his actions impacted a number of people. It impacted our church. A plumber that came in that helped the church out pro bono, the water company that had to get involved, parents, classmates, and the student. There's a program at his school that teaches the students to take responsibility for their actions, and that was what was going on in this moment. The principal lovingly facilitated the meeting, and the young man came in, was literally shaking. I could see him shaking. But he admitted his wrong. He ended up doing community service at our church. And we told him in the church office, the church harbors no ill will towards you. Told him it was courageous to admit his wrongdoing and that he was in a great position right here to have a new start in his life, to make some wise decisions moving forward into the future. Now, I don't know how things turned out for that young man, but hopefully that making amends that he did got him on a good track. You see, with God's help, we can move forward in our lives. We no longer have to always be the victim throughout our lives. We can move to being a survivor. You see, the wound of hurt or abuse, and it could be sexual abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, it becomes one of the most important events in a person's life, but not the only event, not the defining moment. You see, it's forgiveness that helps us to heal and helps us to continue to live our lives rather than being held bondage to the past. You see, when we forgive, we see the person differently. We see them with magic eyes. We wish them well rather than harm. But sometimes the hardest person in your life to forgive is yourself. We need to see ourselves with magic eyes, with loving eyes, with God's eyes. See, the road to healing and recovery, it involves forgiving ourselves. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. For believing false things about ourselves, for treating ourselves poorly. Some of us treat ourselves so poorly we would never imagine treating someone else the way we treat ourselves. For lashing out at others because our hurts just spill over to everyone we meet. If trust has been violated, it's hard to trust anyone after that, even to trust those who are trustworthy. You see, forgiveness and dealing with these things, it's a process. It takes time. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's a lifelong process. Now, the last step is the coming together. Sometimes we get there. Sometimes we don't. Reconciliation is possible with God, but it always has to be a two-way road. Our passage speaks of mutuality, of receiving, but also extending forgiveness. That can be applied to fractured marriages. It can be applied to parent-child relationships, to sibling-to-sibling relationships, to your friendships, to your work relationships, to your church relationships, there is hope. They can be healed. They can be made even stronger after the hurt when true reconciliation takes place. Or maybe strict conditions need to be set up for the possibility of reconciliation in the future. But other times, there will be forgiveness, but no reconciliation. Though you forgive, the other sees nothing to be forgiven of, or they don't accept your apology. They may not want to return. Then you experience forgiveness alone. In those cases, there's a parting of ways. Other times, you forgive, but you got to be wise. You got to be smart. If a person is going to trample on that forgiveness over and over and continue abuse, you can forgive, but you can't enable a destructive and dysfunctional behavior to keep happening over and over. It's not good for you, and it's not good for them. You need tough love. You need healthy and reasonable boundaries. To quote Smeeds again, after a hurt, we make our new beginnings. Not where we used to be, or where we wish we could be, but only where we are and with what we have at hand. So with God's mending work of the Holy Spirit and the living hope of Christ who defeated death, we can experience the healing and wholeness of forgiveness for a meaningful future in our lives, where we daily live into the reality that we are not only a forgiven people, but we are a forgiving people. We long for this, not only for ourselves, but for others too. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We want to bring people together into forgiveness. Forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors. Amen.